Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Jaya Godadha Shiva Sadi.
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 27, 1982. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 6, Verse 28.
Prayuchyamane Maitam Suddham Bhagavatim Tanum Arabdha Karma Nirvano Nyapatat Pancha Bhautika Prayuchyamane Maitam Suddham Bhagavatim Tanum Arabdha Karma Nirvano. Nyapatat Pancha Bhautika. But actually every letter is pronounced just as it's written. So instead of seeing the whole word and becoming confused because you don't know what it means or exactly how the... If you just pronounce each syllable. Pra-yu-ja-ma-ni. Ma-yi-tan. Just as you see it, you just divide into syllables. Pra-yu-ja-ma-ni. Ma-yi-tan. Suttan. Bha-ga-va-ting-tanum. A-rab-dha-kar-ma-nir-va-no. Nyapa-tat-pancha-bho-ti-ka. If you don't look at the whole word, but you just see each syllable, each vowel, letter with the vowel, and you pronounce like then, it's very easy. But if you see the whole word, then you get scared, you know. Prayujjamane mayitang suddhang bhagavatin tanum arabdha karma nirvano nyapatat panchabhautika. Anyone else that want to try? Word by word, Prayujyamane. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of five material elements, and thus all acquired fruitive results of work, karma, stopped. Translation. Having been awarded, a transcendental body, befitting an associate, of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body, made of five material elements, and thus all acquired fruitive works, fruitive results of work, karma, stop. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Informed by the personality of Godhead that he would be awarded a transcendental body befitting the Lord's association, Narada got his spiritual body as soon as he quitted his material body. This transcendental body is free from material affinity and invested with three primary transcendental qualities, namely eternity, one, two is freedom from material modes, and three, freedom from reactions of fruitive activities. The material body is always afflicted with the lack of these three qualities. A devotee's body becomes at once surcharged with the transcendental qualities as soon as he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. It acts like the magnetic influence of a touchstone upon iron. The influence of transcendental devotional service is like that. Therefore, change of the body means stoppage of the reaction of three qualitative modes of material nature upon the pure devotee. There are many instances of this in the revealed scriptures. Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and many other devotees were able to see the personality of Godhead face to face, apparently in the same body. This means that the quality of the devotee's body changes from material to transcendence. That is the opinion of the authorized Goswamis via the authentic scriptures. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that beginning from the Indra Gopa germ up to the great Indra, King of Heaven, all living beings are subjected to the law of karma and are bound to suffer and enjoy the fruitive results of their own work. Only the devotee is exempt from such reactions by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Authority, the Personality of Godhead. Thus ended Bhaktivedanta purport and translation of text 28, chapter 6, canto 1, in the matter of conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva. So this is a very important verse, because this tells us exactly what is the position of material life, what is the position of the material body, devotional service, and the perfectional stage of reaching the transcendence, all in one verse. Because here, Narada Muni is transferring from having a material body and going to having a spiritual body, a spiritual form. So, this is a very wonderful thing to understand, that how the Lord told him that I will give you a spiritual body, a transcendental body, just suitable to associate with me. And that also happened just in the due course. We should understand the difference between a material body and a spiritual body. They're not the same. See, the material body is afflicted in various ways. The spiritual body is invested with wonderful qualities. The three qualities are mentioned here. One is the spiritual body or eternal body, transcendental body is eternal. This is the first point, is that this material body is not eternal. It doesn't live forever. Sometime or another we have to give it up. Normally, if a person is considered a healer, he can cure people, then they're known to be very great religious people. If you can cure someone, common men will come and worship such a person. If you can tell how this life will be, you can read the future. Or if you can heal someone from disease, that's considered to be very great. In ordinary life. In fact, you find the Buddhist monks, often that's like one of their sidelines, is they'll read the future for you, or they'll give you a lucky, in Buddha, in Thailand, this is, they always come up to us and ask, can you give me lucky number for lottery? It's the big thing. If you can give the lucky number, then everyone is very happy. This is the purpose of a religious man, to give you the lucky number. That's what people think, or if you can cure them from a disease. You see, but here we can understand that actually this body is not eternal. It's going to die sooner or later. There's nobody who can claim that by the blessing of such and such holy man, this body has lived forever. Or by blessing of material science, or by any blessing or any means, this body, no one has been able to make it last forever. You see, this is the first point. But the body that Narada Muni is getting, that transcendental body, first quality, is eternal.
You see?
It never dies. Therefore, it can travel in the fire, it can go to the sun, it can go to the moon, it can go all over the universe, it can go outside the universe. You don't need a suit. Nowadays, if you want to travel in outer space, you have the space suit. Because if you take off the suit, you're finished. You'll die in a second. You can't live in that atmosphere. You see. But this transcendental body does not require oxygen and all these things. So it can go anywhere. You see. So this is our first quality, that Narada Muni, his transcendental body was eternal. So this body is not eternal. So there's also a pastime you might have heard. How one time Lord Chaitanya was chanting in kirtan, and while in the house of Srivas, and while the kirtan was going on, Srivas's son died inside the house. You heard about that? Yes, no, what not?
Yes.
You heard about that. So, at that time, Srivas, he came in to see what was the noise. All the women started to wail, crying that their son was dead. And they said that, well, your son is now gone, he's dead. And they're crying, your son is gone, he's gone. Naturally, they're crying. So, he told them all to shut up. Stop your crying. Why are you lamenting? The son has died while the kirtan is going on. That means that he's going to get a spiritual body or going at least up to a very good destination. Don't cry. Don't disturb the kirtan outside. But they couldn't be convinced like that. So then he thought, if you don't stop crying, I'm going to jump in the Ganges and also commit suicide. I'll also die. Then you'll have to cry both for son and for husband. So they got scared and they stopped crying. They kept quiet. So then Srivas, again he went out and he was dancing in kirtan with all the devotees. As if not, they're just normally dancing. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is in everyone's heart. He knew what was going on, so alright, he went on chanting, he didn't interrupt. And it was a very ecstatic kirtan. The whole night it went on until the morning. When the sun was coming up, they broke the kirtan. So, when the kirtan was over and they all paid their obeisances, then Lord Chaitanya, he asked everyone that, I think that something must have happened in Srivas's house. I'm feeling something in my heart, that something is amiss, something is wrong. What is that? And they're talking amongst each other. They said, well, Srivas's son is dead. He said, what? When did he die? He died yesterday afternoon, in the evening, just during the kirtan. Why no one told me? So Srivas said, I didn't want to disturb your kirtan. I said, what? You didn't tell me such a terrible thing happened, and you didn't tell me, just because I didn't want to disturb my kirtan. What is this? Why I was not told? Well, I don't know. Your kirtan is going on. If he's already dead, what can we do? Now, better not to disturb the kirtan. So then, Lord Chaitanya embraced Srivas. He says, what a devotee. How can I ever leave such a devotee? You see. If such a thing happens, he's so unaffected, he's so detached, that all he's thinking about is how he can please me. He's not at all thinking about his family situation. So you bring me that body. Where is this body? Where is this son of Srivas? They brought out the son outside in the courtyard. He told Srivas' son, why you gone away? Why you've left Srivas? Come on now, speak up. Why have you gone away? So Srivas' son sat up, stood up, offered his obeisances and started to speak. Everyone was amazed. He was dead. How is he speaking? But he was speaking from the platform of Jivatma, from the platform of spirit soul. He came back and he spoke. He said, why you have left your father? He said, which father? I had so many fathers. Your father Srivas. Of course, you have desired that I go. You've given the order that this time, my time is up in this body, so I've left according to your desire. It's by your mercy I was able to come in the house of Srivas and serve you and get the association with the great Vaishnavas. And by your desire also I have to leave. I only pray that by your mercy I'll be always able to associate with the pure devotees and be able to serve you. And this way there was a discussion going on. So then Lord Chaitanya, he looked around and saw everybody was very happy that they could see that Srivas' son, although he left the body, but he was going onward under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya, and that there was actually nothing to lament for. So then, Lord Chaitanya said, all right, again Srivas' son's body they laid down, and Srivas went on. He didn't save the body. When a person's time is up, you can... If he wants, he can make him live for a few more years. But what's the advantage of that? The main thing is that when they leave, they go to their proper destination. Just like if you're in a rented house and you get an eviction notice, you have to leave in 1 month. You can talk to the landlord, please give me another 2 months. He said, all right, take 2 more months. That's not the real thing, just to get 2 more months in the house. But you want to get the next place where you're going to live. You don't want to be thrown out on the street with nowhere to go. You have to live in some slum or something. You let me get, where is my next place? You want to see if it's the same or better. So everybody's very anxious to somehow or another stretch out the time they can spend in this body. No one's thinking that we have to give it up. What's the next position after this? You get evicted from your apartment. You want to know, where's the next house I'm going to stay? Why people are so foolish, they don't think that I'm going to be evicted sooner or later. Let me think about the next house now. That's their nonsense. They're working everything for this life, fixing up their apartment. When they know that the rent gets out, they have to be kicked out. They're not going to be able to stay. So, that way Narada Muni, he got the best thing. Naturally, if a person owns his own building, that's better than renting. But you can't own a material body. It's not yours. It's given by the material nature. It belongs to the material nature. You're of the spiritual nature. So we can't own a material body. We can only rent it. We can only live in it temporarily. And then we have to give it up. Because this is not our natural position. Just like Hong Kong. Hong Kong, they can't forever stay here. Because it's the property of China. Ultimately, they want to take it back sooner or later. Although everybody's hoping, well, extend it for more and more time. But they have to pay dearly for that if they want that. And there's no absolute security. Anytime any crazy person gets in charge of the government, he may do anything. Right? This is the situation. But we try to extend on and on. But if you can transform the body, then also you become free. Just like somehow or another, although this was originally China, they transformed it into a British colony. So everything here is not living under Chinese law, but under British law. So then everything has a nicer situation according to material standards. In the same way, if you can transform this body by owing allegiance to Krishna, then just like a magnet, if you put iron on a magnet, you can take that iron also and pick up other iron. That iron also becomes like an extension of the magnet. In the same way, this body, when it's engaged in Krishna service through bhakti yoga, then you can also immediately become freed from all the material laws, all the other laws that ordinarily affect other bodies, and be directly under the spiritual transcendental free position. What is that position that's mentioned here in the next verse? The second thing, freedom from the material modes. That material bodies are always being attacked by modes. Mode of passion, mode of ignorance, mode of goodness. Ignorance, passion, goodness. These three modes are always affecting the body. Therefore, no one is free. Sometimes someone feels very charitable, very, very nicely disposed to help others. He's much in the mode of goodness. Sometimes the person is feeling very greedy. Simply, I want more money, I want more enjoyment, I want immediately for myself. And very anxious and passionate for achieving that profit. The mode of passion. Don't want to give anything to anybody, don't want to hurt anybody. I want simply to get whatever I need. Unless someone stands in my way, I don't care. But I want this. This is passion. Ignorance, very angry. I don't care, even if I get any profit, I simply want to kill you. You see that in a movie sometime, they show this. This is a mode of ignorance. He doesn't care, even if he loses his whole life, I want to get you. This is a mode of ignorance. They don't think about what is the future, what is the ultimately going to be, whether they profit. And obviously, mortal ignorance is not at all for anyone's good. It's insanity, madness, anger, like that. So in this body, if we are not fully engaged in devotional service, then we can be affected by ignorance, by passion, or by goodness, or a combination of all three. To whatever extent we engage in devotional service, we chant Hare Krishna, then our body becomes free from these influences. We become free, and then we can realize the natural freedom, the happiness that comes with it. So even a person is free from the influences, still another question is there, what about all the previous acts we've done? What about the reactions for those? You see, just like so many animals are killed so we can eat them. Or just out of punishment, sometimes as little children, they sometimes pull apart the insects. Sometimes they play with snakes and they chop off the tails. Sometimes they do so many cruel things without thinking about it. And those all will bring reactions in the future. This is the law of karma, no one can escape. So even now, we're engaged in devotional service. What will protect us from all the acts we've done before? Now even if I'm not influenced, but still I'll have to suffer and enjoy so many things that I, for the results of what I've done. And this may also affect me in many ways. This is also a question. So people are not freed from that. They have to get the results of everything they do. Prakriti kriya mana anai gunai karmana sarvas ahankara yura atma kottahamiti manyate. Bhagavad Gita describes that prakriti kriyamanani, the material nature is doing everything. You see. Gunai karmana manasai. That prakriti kriyamanani gunai. That due to the material qualities of goodness, passion, ignorance, and due to the karmas, the material nature is putting everyone in different situations. And the foolish living entity, he thinks, I'm doing everything. Doesn't see that you work hard and you get a good result that's due to your previous karmas. Or you work hard and you, in spite of that, you lose everything. That's also due to your previous karmas. And you don't do any work, still you lucky fellow, you get a lot of results. Hardly you work at all, just a little bit and you get some result, big result. That's also due to karma. And you don't work at all, you don't get anything. That's also karma. Everything in the material world is due to this karma and the material qualities. If a person, even he has good karma, but his association is more to ignorance, He gets money, what does he do? He spends it on drinking, gambling, and he wastes the whole lot. Doesn't have anything to show for it. And a person, if he has a good karma and he has a mode of goodness, mode of passion, he reinvests it. You see. And a mode of goodness, then he spends it for helping others, and in the future he gets more good karma. So in this way, close the door. Everything is going on in the material world. So here the third freedom is the freedom from reactions of fruitive activities. That this transcendental body is free from all those reactions of fruitive activities. This is very important. Because everybody wants to be freed from the reactions of all the fruitive activities. We've made so many mistakes in our life. If we can start with a clean slate, that's what we need. If we have to try to make advancement with all the reactions still there, then it's a very difficult situation. How will it progress? Just like there are different processes of yoga. The process of Buddhism is indirectly like a type of yoga, in a sense. Although we don't generally call it yoga, we call it Buddhism. But it's like a process of realization. Then there's, of course, the process of mystic yoga, the process of bhakti yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, like that. So mainly, the mystic yoga and then the bhakti yoga are the main division. And Buddhism, where one practices a renunciation and type of meditation. But there's a story in Buddhist history about there was one demon who was called Anguliyasura. And I don't know the full detail, but there's a little bit I know. What he used to do is he was a demon that used to cut off the little fingers of people and wear them around his neck in a big garland. Anguliyasura. And naturally he was not well liked by the people in general. Whenever they saw him, they'd run, because he would try to catch them and chop off their fingers and put it on his bracelet.
Angulimala.
Huh? Angulimala. You've heard about that. So, he was a ferocious fellow. Now what happened to him was that he met the Buddha. And he also wanted to cut off his fingers. But by the association of Buddha, instead he could understand that this whole world was a temporary world, and that he was in the wrong position. So he became himself a bhikkhu, he became a monk. But the problem was that although he was a monk, in Buddhism, you don't immediately get purified from these reactions. Reactions are still there, but you stop creating more reactions. So what happened to all the other reactions? He had such a pile that he's chopping off people's fingers. So he couldn't get freed from that. When the people saw he was a monk, they still didn't have any fingers on their hand. They weren't happy about it. So they all chased him and beat him to death. Eventually he was killed. He was beat to death by all the people he had tortured. You see. Because he wasn't freed from those karmas. So this is the disadvantage of other practices. But Krishna promises in Gita that if you simply surrender unto me, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam saranam bhaja, aham tam sarva papibhyo, I will protect you from all the reactions. Mukhishami masucha, I will liberate you, bring you to me. This is my promise. Just like there was Migrati, he was killing so many animals. Right? But when Narada Muni, the same Narada Muni, came, he was able to not only make Migrati into a saint, but he was able to free him from all the reactions for all the animals he had killed, because he taught him bhakti yoga, how to free from the reaction. Similarly, there was a great robber and murderer, was Dasu Ratnakar. He used to kill so many people and steal. The same Narada Muni met him. And Narada Muni, he's very important, because He's a guru, spiritual master of bhakti yoga. He's written a book also, Narada Pancharatri. And there, the whole system of worshipping the deities is given. All the deity worship we do is according to the Narada Pancharatri system. You see. So there is two systems. One is Bhagavat Vidhi, which is chanting Hare Krishna and mantras. Within bhakti, there's two systems. The other is deity worship. So we use both. We use Bhagavat and Narada Pancharatri, both systems. The Narada system is with rules and regulation, and the Bhagavat is pure expression of devotion by chanting and dancing. So we use both. Both are required to help us. Dasu Ratnakar. He met Narada Muni. That's a whole story, how he converted him. Of course, I'm not telling the whole thing. But after a lot of discussion and convincing, and he revealed some secrets about the reactions. What happened was, just in a nutshell, is that he wanted to steal also from Narada. Narada said that, well, I can give you, all he had was his tambura. You know Narada carries the tambura, the veena? He could give him that only, but he wasn't about to give. But anyway, he said, I'll give you whatever you want. You see, but first you have to answer this one question to me, that all the killing and murdering you're doing, who is sharing the karma with you? Who is sharing the reaction? You have to suffer the reactions. Who is sharing it with you? He said, well, my wife and my grandmother and my mother, my father, my children, they're all of you sharing. He says, are you sure? You go ask them. You tell me who is sharing with you. Because technically, according to karma, husband or does something, whoever is dependent on him is not responsible for the reaction directly. Because they're dependent, how the person who's supporting them is maintaining them, that's his worry. You see, they are dependent, so that means that they're not in control of the situation. So how can they be held responsible? You see, if a baby is there and the father is working in a job, or if he's a thief, how is it the baby is not telling the father that you be a thief, or he's just dependent on it. So that's the law of karma. So he went back and asked his mother and father, are you taking that karma? I said, listen, we wanted you to become a doctor, a lawyer, or something, whatever. You became this, what can we do? You see, we tried to train you up, but whatever they said in that day and place, they said appropriately that we tried to train you up, but you became a thief. What could we do? Now we're old and invalid. Now we... don't give us the sin now, because when we die, then we'll have to suffer anyway, so many things. So we can't take any share. They asked the children. They wouldn't take. We're just your children. You brought us in the world. Don't start us off with all this burden. We already starting with a fresh life. Don't let us have all these reactions. They refused. So then he asked his wife that, well, you are my companion through life. You should be grateful. I'm doing so much for you, bringing you everything, so you should take the share. She said, what do you mean? I haven't had a new dress for so long. You never take me out anywhere. We're always in hiding. And you think I like this kind of life? Why should I take also a share of your cars? I'm already washing your clothes and I'm doing everything else for you, raising your children. Now you want me to take also the karmas for all the murders you're doing? So you're nuts. He was shocked, of course. So then he came back to Narada and said, no one's taking any share. No one's grateful. They all take the money, but they're not taking the share of what my karma. So then Narada gave him this chanting of Hare Krishna. He gave him the chanting. He said, you should chant the name of God. He said, no, I can't chant any such thing as you are mentioning. I can't say anything which is to do with anything except for violence and killing, and I can't speak any type of holy words. He couldn't even say God. He couldn't say anything like that. He was so against this idea that he couldn't say anything about God or Krishna or anything. So then Narada asked him, can you chant the word murder, murder? Oh yes. I can chant murder easily. So you chant mara, 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 kill, kill, kill in Sanskrit. This is my mantra to you. You go on chanting mara, 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 mara. So he said, yes, this I can chant this with great enthusiasm. Kill, kill, kill. Mara, 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 mara. But as he's chanting mara, 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 Narada was so clever that he combined the word that when you chant it in a line, it comes out, after the first ma, it comes ra, ma, ra, ma, ra, ma, ra, ma, ra, ma, ra, ma. So he was chanting Rama. Even though he was thinking I'm chanting kill, 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 but the vibration was coming out, Ram, 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 Ram. After the first ma, then it was ma, ra, ma, ra, ma, ra, ma. So in this way, he became freed from all those reactions. This is the power of Krishna's name. It's a great secret. We don't tell people right from the beginning that how powerful is this name. People, they may not believe it. And they might say something offensive. So we don't tell them right in the beginning all these secrets about the chanting. We just tell them to chant, it will make you healthy, happy, whatever. But the actual secret, it will free them from this type of influence of the modes of nature and influence from karma. It will develop a spiritual body, especially once one surrenders to a spiritual master and takes to chanting without offense. Then the full effect of the name manifests. So, this is very important to understand that how these material body differs from the spiritual body. And one other thing here Prabhupada mentions very important is that a person becomes unaffected, free from material affinity. You see, this material affinity is something we like. It's something we naturally we attach to. You're born in the world, and your mother and father, they take care of you. You become very attached to them because there's a very intimate relationship. They're feeding and they're taking care. You see, but that relationship is based on the body. We have the material body, it's based on this body. We're not thinking, just like Srivas, his son, what about the previous life we had mother, mother and father? Then this life we have one mother and father. After we die, we get a new body, a new mother and father. So this material affinity is another kind of bondage, another kind of illusion. We don't realize that because of this affinity, we're putting ourselves in more and more anxiety and difficulty. Just like, because of this relationship, just like we have a baby. Now, if the baby is sick, the parents, they feel bad. They really, because there's such a close affinity, even in, it's difficult, even if you're Krishna conscious, it's difficult not to feel when your child is sick. At least there you dovetail it, that I'm raising my child to be God conscious, to be Krishna conscious, so I have to take care of the child, and so that natural love which is there for the children, that becomes offered to Krishna in an indirect way, or in a direct way, as the child is being trained in Krishna consciousness. Still, the feeling is there sometimes, even amongst the fairly advanced yogis, what to speak of materialists. If their child is in danger, they're out of their skin. Even a cow, if they lose the calf, it's some crying. Tears are there. It's not that this is only a human quality. If even a cow loses its calf, it cries like anything. In India, sometimes what they do, the cow, once it loses the calf, it'll stop giving milk. The cow's a little bit stupid. They don't know the difference between the body and the soul. So they'll do is they'll take the calf and they'll skin it and they'll stuff it and they'll hang it up by the cow, and he'll be licking the skin of the calf, even if it's dead, it's just the skin, but they're a little bit stupid, you know. So they think that my calf is still alive. I still have my cap. Human being knows the difference between a live body and a dead body. The cow doesn't know the difference very well. You see. But if a human being still thinks that, well, all right, this is live body, this is dead body, but what is the difference? They know there is a difference. That much intelligence we have. But what is the difference? That we don't know. We have so many big jets, big buildings. We have Walkman tape recorders. We have everything, right? But we don't know what's the difference between a living body and a dead body. We know there is a difference. So we think we're better than the cow. But what is the difference we don't know in this material world? That's where Bhakti Yoga, where Krishna consciousness comes in. What is the difference between the living body and the dead body? The difference is the soul is not there. We are the soul. So when we identify, I'm not this body, I'm the soul, immediately we become freed from anxieties. As soon as we identify with the body, we have so many affinities. And those affinities bring anxiety and misery. They bring desires which can never be fulfilled fully. So as soon as we realize that the body is my machine, it's my automobile. Nobody spends so much money on their automobile and lets the driver starve. First he'll feed himself, he'll have his apartment, and then he'll spend money on the automobile. There's a priority. A person wants to be putting petrol in his car and then not eat for day after day and starve and die. No one does that. Only we're doing that we're putting everything in our body, but spiritually we're practically dead in this material life. That is the nature. We don't know how to be satisfied. So they're working so hard trying to dress the body, clean it, make it enjoy. And still they're not satisfied because the driver is starving. The spirit is starving. So we should know the difference between the spirit and the body. And actually we don't need this material body forever. We can use the material body to achieve, like Narada Muni did, his spiritual body. There's another pastime, just in conclusion, that Lord Chaitanya, when he came, he didn't come in his material body, that his form is spiritual form. Similarly, he came with his associates, just like Srivas. All these associates, some of them are eternally liberated souls who also came in their spiritual body. Some of them were material persons who by devotional service spiritualized their body. These two categories were there. So Srivas, he's Narada Muni, came to help Lord Chaitanya. He took this form. So his body is accepted as a fully spiritual body. The one time Lord Chaitanya told everyone that I'm going to dance. We're going to have a drama of Lakshmi, of Rukmini and Krishna. We're going to have this drama. And so he told one of the devotees to arrange all the costumes and everything. So then he told that I'm going to dance tomorrow as Lakshmi, dancing to attract Krishna. Everybody became, to see Lord Chaitanya dancing like Lakshmi. Wow, this is something inconceivable. And he said, and everybody is allowed, except for those who still have some material attachment. They shouldn't see. Then everybody became very sad. Then, of course, nobody could say anything. But everyone knew what they were thinking, but Advaita and Srivas, they spoke out. But Lord Chaitanya, I don't know about others, but we are not free yet from material affinity, so how can we, then we cannot see. They took that position. Actually, they were the only ones that were, or they're not the only ones, but they were free. But they were speaking on behalf of the conditioned souls that we're not free from material attachment, how can we see you dance then? We're not in this position. They took that to show an example. So then Lord Chaitanya said, all right, by my special mercy, tomorrow all of you devotees will be freed from any material affinity, from any material attachment. So that when you watch this dancing, you won't be deluded by Maya. So the next day, then Lord Chaitanya, he dressed up as Rukmini, as Lakshmi, and he told Sri Vasa, you have to dress up as Narada Muni. And then, of course, this is Narada Muni, is actually his original position. So this was Lord Chaitanya's trick to advertise to everybody who actually Sri Vasa was. So then the next day, the Gadadhar, he addressed as Roma, one of the expansions of one of the other Lakshmi forms. And Sri Vasa was dressed as Narada Muni. And so then, Lord Chaitanya, what he did is by his mystic power, all the people that were there, although they were putting on costume, that they were appearing to the other devotees, not as any costume, but they were actually able to see those personalities in their original form. When Mother Sachi saw Shivas and actually was seeing Narada Muni, she became so stunned with love, with ecstasy, that she fainted. In this way, there were so many transcendental things that were going on. And Lord Chaitanya, when he was dancing, with all the, so many others who dressed up as Lakshmi, no one could anymore tell who was Lord Chaitanya. Because all were as Lakshmis and Narada Muni, no one could tell anymore who was Lord. Even Mother Sachi couldn't tell who is Lord Chaitanya. Even, they'd all assumed their spiritual forms. So, this way, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya told that why Narada's come here? Because he went up to the spiritual world to see Krishna, but he went there and found that whole spiritual world was empty. All Krishna's palace, everywhere is empty. And he asked, where's everybody gone? So they all came down to Navadvip because they heard that Krishna is going to dance as Lakshmi. So he's come down here to see also. So like this. So many transcendental pastimes, so many transcendental enjoyments are there. Now here is the original form of Narada Muni, how he was only working as a little son of a cleaning woman who was washing pots and who was doing menial services. He was the son of a cleaning woman. Cleaning, his mother died by a snake bite, and she was a cleaning woman in the house of great devotees. So he used to get this maha prasad from the devotees. How sacred devotees are, we have no idea. Because although we think that, well, they're having material body, because they're using their body only for the service of Krishna, their body becomes purified. Just like magnetized, it becomes transcendentalized. Although it appears to be material body, sometimes it may even appear to be old or young, or may appear to be sick or healthy or thin or fat, or strong, or weak. But that is all superficial, has nothing to do. Because the body is always being engaged in Krishna's service. But even though apparently to vision it's a material body, it's become just like magnetized. It's become transcendentalized. Therefore it's considered to be pure. Just like the Ganges River is considered to be pure all year round. But in rainy season there are so many bubbles and sometimes mud is coming in the river because the floods are there. Still, a spiritually advanced person will bathe in the sacred Ganges, not thinking this is winter or this is summer or this is rainy season. Like that, a devotee's body, a devotee who is purely engaged in Krishna's service, that body will always be spiritualized. So therefore, the devotees, there means they're already having transcendentalized bodies by association with Krishna through devotional service. Therefore, we respect the devotees and we offer our respects to them and our obeisances to them. We touch their feet in this way to get special spiritual blessings to help us on the spiritual path. So, these are some of the important things we can know Actually, this verse we can go on speaking month after month. It is so many spiritual instructions for us. But a few things only I'm explaining here today. Basically, we can sum up the whole thing is that this is all the causeless mercy of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that He allows us to be completely attracted and attached and close to Him to immunize us from all the other temporary attractions of this world, which only causes pain in the long run. That's a special mercy that even though we are in the material consciousness, He attracts us. He allows us to taste the happiness of spiritual life, to free us from the miseries of this material world and the attachments which will cause us future misery in the material world. That is a special mercy. So therefore, we should always offer our obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna, by whose mercy we become attached and attracted to His spiritual existence, and we can become freed from all the material miseries of life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Are there any questions? Yes?
So when they think that, well, you know, it sounds good, this yoga, but actually, you know, there's a lot of other things I should be doing first, and maybe I'll take this process up later when the time is better. Someone may think like that. Is that a good plan to just try to take care of our material obstacles first, you know, take care of the family or any other things that might be in the way, and then later take up the yoga process?
The point is that that whole thing will depend on how much time a person has, theoretically. Just like when I came here 6 months ago, then the Hong Kong dollar was very strong. But then after the Prime Minister of England went to Peking, I don't know, Beijing or Peking, whatever. And they told so many things like, well, if they're all... the Chinese government said so many things that we may just throw you out or this or that. They were exerting some force for whatever reason. Now the Hong Kong dollar... Why? Everybody wants to take the money somewhere else where it's safe. They're afraid, what if they do throw us out, then... We have to have our money somewhere where it'll be safe. Because they're thinking that, well, maybe it won't have so long after all. Before that, they were thinking they're going to extend, there's no problem. So they weren't worried. But then they became afraid that, well, if we don't have that much time after all, then we better make some arrangement. So it's like that. If people are thinking, I'm young now, so now I should take care of my... material things, and when I get old, I'll take care of the spiritual matters. Well, there's two problems there. The one problem is that we don't know how long we're going to live. Of course, in normal course of events, we live till old age. But that's not that everyone lives till old age. I don't know the percentage of people who die untimely, but say at least 25% may die. Roughly, I don't know the exact percent, but a good percentage, and not an insignificant number, but a good significant number, die at an age which is young. So, that danger is always there, that if we get suddenly evicted from this body, then we'll have no hope. So that would also make us, that we should make some preparation even now. Just like saving money in the bank. They're starting to put money now on other accounts overseas, just in case. See, that's not for sure. Hong Kong may be able to make some deal later on and stay here for some time. But it's for sure that we have to leave the body. That's for sure. There's no definite. That is definite. Sooner or later. So that's the one problem, we don't know when. The other problem is that even say we live till old age, but to do spiritual practices also is not something that can just be done abruptly. Naturally, we've been practiced, it's not always. If someone can do it immediately, that's also a great good fortune. It means some great spiritual assets or blessings have been bestowed on that person. But Prahlad Maharaj, he gave the example that his children, friends told him also the same thing, we don't want to chant, we don't want to do this yoga, because we want to play now, we're kids, when we get old we'll do it. But he told them, you'll play for the next 10 years as children, then after that you'll be busy with your schoolwork and other type of play. Then you're going to be getting into family life. You're going to have children, you'll be working hard to make money, to maintain your families, to raise your children. And this way you'll be all busy with family life. Then in your old age you'll be weak and sick and you won't have any energy to travel or to do anything. And half your life you're spending sleeping anyway. So where's the time? Therefore, atata brahma jiggasa, you should inquire now, or kumaram acharet pragyo, you should start inquiring and preparing yourself, even in the kumara, even in the childhood. Actually, if a person is already 18 or 20 or 25 years old, that means already 18 years was wasted. That means at least one quarter of the life is wasted, because we don't generally live over 80, at maximum 100. So it means one fourth of the life or more has already been wasted. How many, now you want to waste again, how many, another quarter? You waste another quarter, they'll become so engrossed in family affairs that they won't be able to stop. So that's why a person has to start practicing yoga, either partially or fully, from immediate moment. Take whatever time has already been wasted, you have to make up for that. If a person starts at 75 years, that means he has to make up for 75 years wasted time. How is it possible? At that time you're weaker. At least if you say you start at 25, 25 years were wasted. So then at least you have strength enough to try double speed, to make up for lost time. So generally we find you get people either young or old. Middle age is very hard because they're already so involved in so many material entanglements. They don't find any time. When they're young, they're just in college, or they're out of high school, or they haven't yet got married or got deep into the whole family situation, there's a good chance for them to start the good habits of yoga. Otherwise, at the end of life, we get a few. But usually, by the end of life, they develop so many bad habits, even if they want to practice yoga, they don't, it's too hard for them to learn at the old age. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. So for these two reasons, one is that we don't know when we're going to die. Second is that if we keep delaying it, it becomes harder and harder. And we waste more and more time. For these two reasons, we should immediately start the practice of yoga. If at all we want to become free from these material problems and achieve spiritual perfection. Any other questions? Do you have any questions?
When the disciple takes initiative from the guru takes away all his karma, then why is it that the disciple doesn't want to initiate from the next office from the previous years?
The guru takes responsibility for the karma. And depending on how the disciple surrenders, then that karma is either taken away directly by Krishna withdrawing it, or by giving the disciple some tokens to help the disciple to come to the proper frame of mind, which will allow all the karma to be removed. The total responsibility is taken away by the spiritual master. And therefore, the karma is not given to the disciple at face value, but some momentum from the previous activities is there. Some desires are there, and also even after taking initiation, sometimes devotees are also performing sinful activities against their oath. So for various reasons, sometimes a person is put in some difficulty. One time Srila Prabhupada cut his finger, and one drop of blood came. He said that I should have had my head cut off, but instead Krishna has just given me this token, just to remind me. And I was released from such a big sinful reaction. So once we surrender to the spiritual master, then we're under the care of Krishna. See, once we take initiation, but then we have to also practically practice devotional service, and then more and more we're relieved from all these reactions. Just after initiation we come into what's called the clearing stage, where all these reactions are cleared away. It's not that just immediately everything is gone, unless we can immediately completely fix our mind, every thought, word and deed, completely without any material attachment. We can completely absorb ourselves in the service of Guru, then we're completely free. But just after initiation, it's not that people suddenly forget their parents and forget their everything material. They may get a different, they become more detached, and they become, still there may be some slight attachments there. So how to get free from those? Whatever attachments we have, those are linked with reactions. As detached as we become, that is as free as we become from reactions. These two things are told today. The three modes are there, and reactions. These are linked. As we have attachments within the three modes of nature, those attachments are linked with reactions. As we get rid of the reactions of fruitive activities, we get rid of the attachments also. Just like a person is very attached to getting $1 million. Once they get the $1 million, then sometimes they're not so attached anymore. Then they want either $2 million or they want something else. Just like in Hong Kong, in Japan, people, they get very attached to material things. They want to get a brand new tape recorder. They get the tape recorder. After a while, they get tired of it. They just throw a perfectly good tape recorder, they throw it away in the garbage. They're fed up. That's the mood they're in there. They just throw it away. You can find good tape recorders laying in the garbage. When you get the thing, that means that now your desire is fulfilled. That's one way of getting your material fruitive action, is you get what you want. That's one. That's called the reaction for pious activity. That also makes you detached in some cases. You get tired of it. You want something else. And the other way of getting rid of attachment is by suffering. When that thing you want causes some pain, you become detached. So both these reactions, pain as well as pleasure, the devotee becomes detached to. Because know that both of them simply cause material attachment. They want spiritual ecstasy, spiritual bliss. So already the plug has been pulled out. You're not creating any more karmas. You've been freed. And Krishna promises, according to how you surrender, that's how you will be rewarded. So already you are free from direct reaction of karma. If any karma is given, it means that you still have some attachments, and this is to help you to become more and more advanced. And you're only getting a small token of what you deserve.